Well, it's great to see you folks here. This is Labor Day weekend, so there's no doubt many people away. But we're glad that you're here. And just to see, I just laugh every week when I see all your children and babies. It's absolutely wonderful and delightful. I want to thank the elders. They very kindly asked me if I would return again in September. So we'll be together through the month of September until your new pastor arrives, which will be a very great day. And next week, I want us to leave the stories Jesus told just for 1 week. And I would like us to... Yes, that's just too much of me, isn't it? And I'd like us to go back to a person that met Jesus by the name of Zacchaeus, intensely disliked by everybody. But Jesus asked him to be his friend. And Zacchaeus, as you all know, said he was giving away half of everything to the poor, and he was giving four times back to all the people he cheated. There was a huge long line, by the way, I think, at Zacchaeus' house to be repaid. Possibly some people that were even manufacturing the fact that he had cheated them. Anyways, question is this. Jesus says, salvation today has come to Zacchaeus' house. But Zacchaeus had made an economic statement. So what I want you to think about this week is this. Does that mean that salvation is economic? Does that mean that salvation is economic? I've long been fascinated by that story. Today, however, we're going to take a look at another story that Jesus told, the unfair boss. But before we do that, I would like you to join with me and prepare our hearts and our minds that God will speak to us. So I'd ask you to rise with me that we might pray together, asking God to speak to us at this time. Shall we pray together? Almighty and merciful Father, teach us that we do not live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from your mouth. Make us hungry for your word, that it may feed and nourish us today in the truth and the ways of Jesus Christ our Lord. Come, Holy Spirit, sweet Spirit of Jesus, and speak to us today. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. So the question is very straightforward. It's this. Do you think the vineyard owner was unfair? Now, you've heard it read, the story, Matthew chapter 20. And I'd like to just tell it again briefly, because in order for us to answer the question, which I'm going to ask you all, yes, no, the vineyard owner was an unfair boss. Let's make sure that we have the facts straight. That's an important thing, that they're clear. Jesus starts with, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God, is like a vineyard owner. So he goes out in the morning, looks at his crop. Ah, today is the day they have to be brought in. And he knows that his own people are not sufficient. So he goes to the marketplace. And at the marketplace, there are day laborers for hire. And so he tells them, I need a number of day workers. I'll do it, they say. And so he says, well, then come. Come to my vineyard, and I will pay you a denarius, the coin, for a day's labor. And so a great number of them come to the vineyard, start to work, 7:30, 8 o'clock in the morning. At 10 o'clock, the vineyard owner goes out, and he sees that it's progressing well, but there's a huge crop to come in. So he goes back to the market, and he finds some more people, and says to them, if you come and work in my vineyard today, I'll pay you a fair day's wage. And so they come. At 12 noon, his foreman comes to him and says, "Sir, this is a bigger crop than we expected. Much bigger. We're going to need more help." So off he goes to the market. Find some more people. Come on, work. Pay you a fair day's wage for the part that you work. They come. And he does the same thing, Jesus says, at 3 o'clock. And at 5 o'clock, he goes to the market just a couple of hours before sundown, quitting time. And he finds some workers there and says, "Why haven't you been working today? No one wanted to hire us." He looked at them. They were sort of a sorry lot. He really wondered whether any of them would be good workers or not. But he also knew at the same time that some of them were disabled, some of them had problems, and a lot of them had families, and they had people that depended on them, and they had children, and he felt sorry for them. "Come. Come on and work." And so, at day's end, he called his foreman over and he said, "Listen, I want you to pay them." He said, "I want you to do it this way. I want you to start with those that were hired last and pay them a full day's wage, a denarius. 3 o'clock, 5 o'clock workers. Noon hour workers that had come, worked all afternoon, that was it. They hadn't been there in the morning. Paid them a denarius. The people that came at 10 o'clock in the morning, paid them a denarius. The people that came at 8 o'clock in the morning, he paid them a denarius." And they were not happy campers or vineyard pickers. They were very unhappy about it. They objected. Now, listen, the people that were listening to Jesus and the people of the story were not passive listeners. So obviously the workers in Jesus' story were responsive, to put it mildly. Matter of fact, the 5 o'clock people, the 3 o'clock people, they were overjoyed. I mean, you worked 2 hours, you worked 4 hours, and you get a full day's pay. Not a bad deal. 12 noon people, they weren't nearly as happy, but on the other hand, what do you do? Let's see. These guys, they got the same as we did, and we've worked another 3 hours or 5 hours longer than they have. On the other hand, we did only work a half day, right? Okay. 10 a.m. workers, right? All of you, 10 a.m., raise your hand. Wave at me. Oh, some of you aren't awake. Wake up. I don't blame you, okay? Oh, there's more of you here. You are 8 a.m. workers. I'd just like to congratulate you on the wonderful day's labor that you put in. Very, very impressed by you. Thank you. Okay. So, the people that listened to Jesus, they weren't passive listeners either. When people listened to Jesus, they got into his stories. He captivated them. And sometimes they agreed with Jesus, and sometimes they disagreed with him. So I want you to be the 5 o'clock and the 3 o'clock workers. You're afternoon, you're nice people, but don't take it personally. You people are noon hour people. You're sort of caught in the whole thing, right? You should have got paid more than they did, but on the other hand, did you work the whole day? Yes? No? No, you didn't work the whole day. I'm sorry to tell you this, you did not work the whole day, okay? Good, I want you to know that. So I want you to think about your response. And we're going to join together these two sections here. You're all morning workers, okay? Now, what's your response going to be when you get paid? No. They, those people over there, they got the same pay as you did, and you worked all day. You are not happy. Are you already not to be happy? No, I don't want any smiles. No smiles here. Okay, no smiles here. Okay. And so the vineyard owner comes and he speaks to the people. You people just work this afternoon, and I am giving you a denarius for the entire day. You are getting paid for the whole day. Your response, please. Oh, beautiful. Oh, beautiful. Oh, I changed my mind. You are wonderful people. Okay, now, this is a tough one. Some of you are yes, some of you are no, right? Okay, so take your pick, which way you're going to be, happy, unhappy. And so I call you, and you receive a denarius. Any boos here? Well, you're all, okay, well, yeah, you're wonderful people. I think that maybe there should be a few boos there. I think that Ron Harris should be saying no. That's what I think. Well, people, you came this morning, and I am giving you a denarius. Your response?
Outrageous.
Outrageous. Very good. What's some other responses?
Ridiculous.
Ridiculous. Beautiful. Thank you. It's always somebody who doesn't fit the stereotype.
I want to get fired.
You know, not to mention Lawrence, of course. So, we've got this mixed response of all the people. So we're going to vote. What do you personally think? Do you personally think he was an unfair boss, or do you think he was a fair boss? So this is your personal opinion as you've heard the story. So unfortunately, you only get two choices. Completely unfair. Yes, no. First of all, those who think he is a fair boss. Yeah, you people are all into it, yeah. Well, some of you do. Oh, very good, okay. Those of you who think he was an unfair boss. Well, a couple of you here, yes. Hold it. No, okay, you guys are all into it. Okay, we got a little problem here, okay? The problem is this, that half of you didn't vote. I can't do that. This is not a democracy. Okay, we're going to do this again, okay? Just for you people, okay? You're dedicated, hard workers all day long. Those of you think that he was a fair boss, hands up. Oh, you do. Okay, those of you do not think he was a fair boss, no. My crew down here are you know, they're thank you, okay. And a couple of you think that. Okay. Well, he replies, listen, he says, I paid you what we agreed to. I said I would give you a denarius. Here's your denarius. You all agreed to it. You thought it was good. Take it. Go. And why are some of you giving me the evil eye? Because the word jealous really is, and it's literally evil eye. Why are you giving me the evil eye of jealousy? Why can't I be generous with my money? What is wrong with that? Because I am being generous with my money. Let's be clear. I don't think that Jesus is here speaking about labor relations. as some interpreters think. He's not making any comments on whether a denarius is a fair day's wage or not. That's not the purpose for his story. Remember, he starts out the story at the very beginning by saying, the kingdom of heaven is like the vineyard keeper, the landowner. So he starts the story by telling us from the very beginning that this is a story about God, who's the vineyard keeper. In the Old Testament, Israel was often referred to as the vineyard, God's vineyard. Now, if you want to know Jesus' view of the poor and his concerns for the poor, we only have to look at the chapter before this. In chapter 19, the man comes to Jesus and asks, "What must I do to be sure of eternal life, of living in the age to come?" And you recall that Jesus said in his case that he was to go and sell everything he had, and he was to take his money that he got from selling everything, and he was to give it to the poor. So Jesus is very plain and clear in that passage of his great concern for the poor. Or if we go back to chapter 5, the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus starts off in the Beatitudes by saying, "Blessed are the poor." Blessed are the poor. So Jesus is obviously concerned for the poor. All the way through Scripture, we see this concern. He identifies with the poor. In Luke chapter 4, he stands up in the synagogue at the beginning of his ministry, and he quotes from Isaiah, and he said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me to preach good news to the poor." So Jesus' entire ministry is marked by his concern for the poor, for those that don't have. You see, in the kingdom of God, which is different from our society, but for everyone who follows Jesus who lives in the kingdom of God now, the haves are to look after the have-nots. We are all haves. In our world, we're all haves. Maybe not in our society, but in our world we are. We can't deny that. We have homes to live in. We have food to eat. We have clothes to wear. We can go to a doctor. So we're all haves. And in the kingdom of God, we then are responsible for those that don't have. Now, I understand the morning workers, okay? I understand that. But here's what the morning workers forgot. They forgot that they were in the marketplace in the morning, that when they left home, they said to their wife, they said to their kids, "Pray for me that I get a job today." They were not employees of the vineyard owner. They were day workers. They were day laborers. And when the vineyard owner came to the marketplace and the vineyard owner said, "Listen, I need some day laborers today. I need to pick grapes. The harvest is fantastic. Who wants to come and work?" I do. And he hired them all. But that was an act of generosity on his part. That was an act of kindness. That was an act of compassion. He didn't have to hire them. Not one of them did he have to hire. He could have said, "I'll come. I'm sorry. There's something about you that I don't like. I'll come. I'm sorry. You don't fit the profile that we have. I'll come. No, you're too short. You won't be able to reach the top. I'll come. thank you very much, but you're too white. You see, you're going to burn, and then you're not going to be able to finish the day. I want someone to be able to work all day. I want someone with brown skin or blacker skin, please. I don't want you whiteies. But he isn't. Come. Come. Work for me, and I will pay you a denarius. Compassion, kindness, generosity, caring. For many years, I've puzzled over this parable, to be quite honest. I always read it and had this uneasy feeling that he was being unfair. And then it was pointed out to me that God gave these all-day, morning, day workers the very same compassion as the afternoon latecomers. I didn't deserve to be hired. I don't deserve to be invited into the vineyard. I don't deserve to be in the kingdom of God. I'm only in the kingdom of God because God has compassion on me. So much compassion that Jesus was willing to die for me. But I don't deserve it. Mark Twain has it correct. If heaven were gained by merit, your dog would go in and you would stay out. That's true. My dog would go in. My dog's Harriet. She's a chocolate Labrador retriever. She's loyal. She's kind. She thinks I am the best thing since sliced bread or at least Subarus. I'm wonderful. No, she's greatly mistaken, but anyways, that's what she thinks. And she sticks with me. My dog deserves to be in heaven. But it's not gained by merit, is it? Say it with me, will you please? If heaven were gained by merit, your dog would go in and you would stay out. Repeat it with me again, please. If heaven were gained by merit, your dog would go in and you would stay out. That's exactly what the Apostle Paul says. I mean, it's different words. But he understands precisely what the Apostle Paul says. It's by grace. You don't deserve it. It's God's forgiveness. It's God's goodness. It's the fact that he loves you. And there's no other reason. Why are you jealous, the vineyard owner asks. Why are you giving me the evil eye? Because I am good and generous? Is that why? These morning workers are all comparing themselves to the afternoon workers. And once you start to compare yourself to other people, and you take your eyes off the goodness of God and the generosity and the kindness of God, it's always dangerous. Always dangerous to our spiritual health. Too often we live by a scarcity mentality. God has a limited amount of compassion, a limited amount of goodness, a limited amount of kindness that he can give. And the fact of the matter is that if they get it, then you don't. And if you get it, then they don't. And it ends up as us versus them. And that's what happens in the Christian church all the time. Us versus them. I'm right. You're wrong. There's only a certain amount of goodness that can go on. God's blessing me, so he can't bless the other person. And we end up at odds with each other because we think that God has a scarce amount, a limited amount of forgiveness, a limited amount of compassion, a limited amount of caring. And he'll either give it to me or he'll give it to you, but he won't give it to both of us. But that's not how God operates. That's not how the vineyard owner operated. He operated on the abundance principle. The vineyard owner had enough to pay everyone. No one was left out. He operates by the generosity principle, the abundance principle. He has everything that you and I need, no matter who we are. Jesus says the first will be last, the last will be first. He's saying that we're all equal, that we can all share in God's goodness, we can all share in his love. The problem is that sometimes we forget that me, you are in desperate need of God's compassion. And we forget that. We don't need it. Yes, we do. We need God's compassion. It doesn't matter how long you or I have been serving Jesus Christ, whether we're morning or late afternoon people, we are all in desperate need of God's grace and forgiveness every single day. And when we forget that we, me, you, are in desperate need of God's grace and forgiveness and love and compassion today, then what happens? Our focus is on ourselves, and we can't give it away. It's only as we say to God, God, I'm desperate today for your forgiveness. I'm desperate today for your compassion. I'm desperate today for your love, that we can share it then with the next person. And when you and I fail to be desperate for God's love, for God's compassion, then we don't give it. And Jesus wants us to give it. You see, you and I only receive, we only receive God's compassion in order to give God's compassion.